my advice would be that don't be shy like me in the beginning and just go for it and make all the contacts without being ashamed or feel embarrassed that maybe people can think, what is she doing? No, they are not going to think that. They are going to help you because one day they were in the same position that maybe you are today. So they can help you and you can get benefit from a lot of professionals that they are able and open to help you in any time. So the first thing that I would advise is to be brave and don't be shy and try to do all the contacts that they could.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Armand Aluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugenie. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Ridao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm the Big E. And a quick reminder that the Instagram live series starts very soon. Can't wait to get some cool guests and talk about stuff around the business of sports with them. So go follow me over there at huge.pro to not miss it. This episode, I felt very warm because I virtually traveled to Gran Canaria de Las Palmas in Spain, where I sat down with one of the most hardworking classmates from the MBA I graduated from last year. Her name is Isabel Guerra Quesada, and currently she is finishing her role as marketing director at National Strength and Conditioning Association of Spain. And soon she will start a new role, which you will find out in our conversation later. Isa is a true inspiration with great personality, beginning with pursuing the MBA in English when a Spanish language program was available and promoting diversity when it comes to sports business. I had a lot of fun documenting and getting this one in front of you guys. I hope you get a lot of value, and if you do so, please consider subscribing to the podcast on the platform you're listening to and also leave a rate and review. It helps the podcast grow and get in front of more people who might get value out of it. So without further ado, the conversation with Isabel starts now. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of eProcast. I'm the Big E, and I'm very excited to have alongside me in this one, all the way from Gran Canaria, de Las Palmas right now, but soon to be Madrid, Spain, Isabel Guerra Quesada. She's currently the Marketing, Communication, and Sponsorship Director at National Strength and Conditioning Association of Spain. Isabel, or Isa, which we're going to go forward with your short name because it's awesome and I love it. Welcome to the show and thanks for taking the time to join me.
Thanks to you, Eugenio. I couldn't say no to this invitation. I'm so happy to be here and to share with you a nice time.
Yeah, exciting times and also difficult times. I know you, we'll talk about your background in a second, but also before that, just wanted to say congratulations with your new role that you're going to start in Madrid in a couple of weeks, and you'll share more about that. I hope you're excited as well. Are you?
I'm so happy. I'm so excited to find a good and new opportunity with this time, with the COVID crisis and everything. I'm so happy and I'm valuing even more what it means.
Yeah, I'm really happy for everyone who in this time actually found, is getting a new role, a new job, a new opportunity. And also, like, I had some awesome guests on the podcast who actually got promoted during these times, which is like, how crazy is that? But I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Why won't you just share your background? And I'll give just a little bit of context to the audience here. Isa is sport professional. Actually, she played, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you're still playing or not, volleyball. It's your sport of heart. And in your career, you even represented your country, Spain, on an international stage, which is super cool. Tell us more about Isa, about your life as an athlete, and of course, how you did the transition to work in on the business side, and why did you decide to do that?
I started to play volleyball when I was 9, and it was one of the best decisions of my life, because I think sport changed your character and your way to see life, and prepares you to be a stronger person and to have more decision in your life. So I started to play volleyball when I was 9 years old, and I was growing and going up in the different scales and teams of my club here in Las Palmas. And suddenly one day when I was 16, I played for the first time. I made my debut in the first division. It's called a female super league here in Spain. So since that, I played in different teams, different years, a lot of seasons in Pamplona, in the north of Spain, then come back to Gran Canaria. Then I could make real one of my dreams, that was playing in Europe, in the Swiss league in Switzerland, also the first division. And then, as you said, also with the Spain national team, it was a dream come true also, and one of my goals. I had a checklist in my sport life, and I can say very happy and very proud that more or less I accomplished all the goals that I had in that sector. So trying to remember the how do you do the question. A normal day for me when I was a volleyball player, I retired like 2 years ago in 2018. So I'm not playing now. I'm doing another sport, but not volleyball.
Yeah. How long you've been you played on the professional level? Just to give context to the listeners.
Yeah, more or less like 10 years since I was 15, 16 till I was 25 that I retired.
Let's get into the memories. I just wanted to ask, what's your top memory as a player?
Sure, I have three. I can tell you three.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
If it is not too much.
No, absolutely.
Well, the first one was the day of my debut. I was so nervous. I was 15. I can remember I was shaking. And it was in a full court here in Las Palmas. And I was the little girl who was with the first team for the first time. And I can remember my family, my friends all there. It was a very happy day. And it was a beginning, no? A different beginning. Then I can remember my first game with the Spain national team, like the absolute. And it was amazing. I have told you this before, because with our teammate Marcin, he's from Poland, and I remember we were playing the qualification for a world championship in Poland. And our first game of the tournament was against Poland. You can imagine the sound, the how was that, the core was amazing. I remember that with a lot of like love and impression. And then I remember when I hear the national anthem, the tears in my eyes, but I couldn't cry because I was about to play in like 2 minutes. And I can remember my teammate like just taking my hands, and we all together, we had a nice games in front of almost 10,000 spectators, which for volleyball is amazing.
A lot, yeah.
And that's my second memory. My third memory is the day that I play in Switzerland for the first time. It's very different because in Spain, you feel like in your comfort zone, right? You speak the language, you know the league, you know the players, you know everyone. You know that there you have, maybe it's bad to say, but there you have some like status. People respect you, you know the other players, you know where they are weak, where they are strong, you know how to play. But there for me, in a new league, you have to demonstrate things, you know? You are they are going to sign you, you are a foreigner, you are from Spain, you are from a good league. And there I could feel really the pressure, no? Because I was an important signman for the club. I can remember that it was like a full out of the tension. The first game, it was amazing. We played very well. We had a nice team. And I remember Switzerland, one of my good years, even if there were difficult moments and difficult things, like always. But I remember Switzerland with a very good view. I remember it very kind.
That's awesome. You mentioned you made your debut at 15. Did you have at that point someone who inspired you to keep on? Like, do you have? Because we'll talk about the professional side and the business side in a second. But as an athlete, who was your inspiration at that point? And if what that was a, for example, an athlete or I don't know, a coach, or you had a mentor who inspired you to move forward and be stronger?
Sure. I can remember that the girl who plays on my position, that she was like older than me. She helped me a lot. I was like her protected in the team, and she taught me a lot. She treated me very well, and she always was cheering me and you can do this, you can do this, you can make your debut, you can play with the first team, why not. And in that moment I started to see the sport in the way that, wow, maybe this is a way that I can live from this, you know. It could be I can be professional because I really want it, and it's my dream. I have a goal list, a checklist, and I want really to accomplish that. And I can remember that the older girls in my club here in Las Palmas, they helped me a lot. I was the youngest, the one who was scared, but they trained me very well and they pushed me. They were a model for me.
That's awesome. Now, as we're getting more to the professional side, when was the moment that you gave a thought that you wanted to actually work on the business side of sports?
Yeah, well, it came suddenly. I remember I was finishing my season in Switzerland, and I can remember that my brain suddenly was like switch, and it changed a lot. It says, okay, you have accomplished more or less all the goals that you have, like playing the national team, playing in Europe, playing outside your country in Spain. You have played these, the titles in Spain, Cup, Super Cup, Queen's Cup, and I was really happy with the moment that I was living, and I made the decision. I don't regret, for sure, I don't regret to quit and to retire, because I think it was the key moment, because I was still young to start in the business, in the job industry, you know, that sometimes athletes, if they like delay this entrance in the business world, they can find their place in some time. So I was convinced that it was our decision. Suddenly it was a switch. I considered that my goals were accomplished and were okay. And I decided to do the MBA in Madrid, in the Escuela Universitaria Real Madrid, with you. And it was one of the best decisions of my life, I think. Because I knew that I wanted to keep linked to the sport. But now, as a female athlete, that I think that this is a subject where we will touch later, as a female athlete, you see every day the things that you want to change, because there are a lot of things that we have to change in the female sport. And I wanted to help the industry, or help the female sport, volleyball in particular, but all the female sport, football, basketball, handball, wherever it is, to help to change that, because they need a professionalization, they need more infrastructure, they need more opportunities. And really, I wanted to keep linked to the sport world and to make a difference, to improve this world that I have lived from the athlete point of view, you know?
Yeah, I love where you're going, and we'll get into the women in sports subject. And to the audience, some context. Together with Isa, Martin, and Mauricio, our team worked on together on a final project, and it was called AS Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. sorry
for my Spanish.
It's perfect.
It was great experience, and definitely enjoyed it. And I'll give a shout out to Martin and Mauricio on that. Mm-hmm. I kind of miss those days. It was cool.
It was hard work, but at the end, it was pays off.
Let's talk about a little bit about the MBA. First of all, how you feel after graduating 1 year ago? You've been in the industry for 1 year now.
Yeah, 1 year. It's amazing. Time flies. And I remember that, or I feel that at the end when we finished the MBA, we felt so like so small in this big industry and trying, all of us trying to find our places, you know. And at the end, the pieces of the puzzle are connecting and are getting in the correct place, and we are finding our path. But it's difficult. I mean, to enter and to say, hey, I'm here, and they can see your head, they can know you a little bit. It's difficult to have an opportunity. I feel great because we graduated and we had a nice experience and a nice time. But also I'm very, very lucky, and I feel lucky because I found a job in the following 2 months after finishing the MBA. But also, always you have this like thought saying, am I ready? Am I prepared for this? And it's normal that you have all these doubts in your head, no? But then you enter to the real world and you see that you are ready and you are prepared for this.
Right. Personally, going into this MBA, I remember my story. I was thinking like sports business is so small because I'm coming from Eastern Europe, and you know, like sports is still not perceived as business yet. I mean, not all of them, of course, if you're looking at, you know, top football leagues and so on, yes, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
But getting into this MBA and like first weeks was like a shocker for me when, you know, some professors are just, sharing how big the industry is and how wide and how many opportunities are out there, for me was like, hell yeah. and I definitely enjoyed working that. And of course, a goal of mine during this MBA was to you know, get to know as many people as possible in the industry, and also to try to taste most of every area of the sports business, just to understand which ones, at least to narrow when it comes to that big sports business ecosystem to a smaller group, which I want to give it a shot in order to see, you know, what makes me happy. And I definitely, I think I succeeded that, because I see right now what I'm doing, and it's, you know, it's definitely around same areas, which I love. And also you're doing same thing. You've been working in marketing ever since.
Yeah.
So what positives would you take from the MBA that we did last year and the year before?
Well, this is a great question and maybe a little bit long, but I'm going to try to explain myself as good as I can. Well, I can like sum up in three different ways, right?
Yeah.
First of all, and maybe you are going to laugh, is finance. I didn't know anything about finance. I know how a big club or a European club, they are managing this. For me, was very, very, very nutritive. And we learned a lot, even if the finance classes, they were tough. But we learned a lot. And then I agree with you completely, because we came with an idea that the world of sport was football and was this. But then the view of the American sports, I see like the United States, also South America, then we have the European view, then we have the Indian, the Asiatic, and it's so different. And I would love to learn more about the Asia and India and all these things. I think that in MBA they talked us very well the American vision and the European vision, but I would love to know a little bit more about the other areas of the world or countries or sectors. Well, what I was saying, they open up to us a beautiful scene of different scenarios in America that we didn't know. At least me, I knew a little bit of American sports, but what they explained us was amazing and very, very, very interesting. Also Europe, that we knew how to manage a court, a field, not only the football, also basketball. It was very, very, very interesting. And the third one, as you know, is to be a better professional. They taught us how to be a sport professional, to make contacts, to make networking, to put the hand to someone, because in the future you can benefit for that in a good way, not in a bad way. Look at us here today. We are here connecting because we keep in touch after our MBA, and we are getting benefit from what each other with this podcast and trying to help other people. And I think that is very, very important, because all the business industry is important to be connected with other people, but even more in our sector.
I'll add here what I really enjoyed as well was that multicultural this MBA was. Like we,
sure,
in our group, we were like 25 students. And then of course the the German group joined us as well. And I think within like 35 to 40 students, we're like 20 nationalities or so. That was just so crazy and so awesome just to get to know, of course, from the sports side, what's going on in every culture and every country, how sports is treated and so on, but also to get to know the culture as, you know, as a person, just to see how it is in India, how is that in Australia, in the US, sure, and so on. So that was really cool. This is what I enjoyed as well. And to give some context and value, Iza, to those who potentially might get into this MBA after this, you know,
sure,
if they want, I might link the website to our MBA just to give a little bit of love, to show some love to our MBA.
Perfect.
If you do it again, give it 2 years back. If you do it again, what you would have done differently, or double down on, or what you would do more of?
Yep. At the beginning, I remember I was like a little bit shy because it was not my environment. I was starting something new. There were some people like really, really, really interesting and really with a lot of value, because they have already worked in the industry. And I felt a little bit like, hey, I'm only an athlete. I have my experience. Of course, I have my degree in the university, and I'm trying to keep on my formation with this master. But there are already professionals here. There are people that they have worked in this before than me. So I could appreciate like a different step between us. At the end, I try my best, and that difference you can notice it, but with hard work, as you see and as you know, you can like put yourself up. But maybe I would change if I could now. I will do different the way that I started. I was a little bit shy because I felt like a little bit in another step down than the other people because of what I have told you.
Right.
And what I would do different is to take all the contacts, to stay with people, to be less shy and to be a lot of like extroverted, and take all the chances that, hey, can you have lunch with this teacher or this professor or this teammate? Because you can like feel what you were learning just speaking with them, you know?
Yeah.
And I will do that different, and then also to be a little bit more comfortable in Madrid. Madrid is a big city, transport is difficult, the campus was a little bit out of the city and far, far away. And if you want to really to enjoy this master, you have to be comfortable and to have time to do your things and to stay after the classes, to be with your team, to prepare an assessment and everything. And I would recommend to choose a place who can offer you all this, to be comfortable and to enjoy the experience full.
I actually enjoyed the Royal Palace as the most visited place, I think, within the MBA.
The point of meeting.
Yeah, this is actually when it comes to entrepreneurship as well. You know, like that's why everyone is talking about starting a business in the garage or starting, I don't know, something like that in the basement. Thinking back now, I would really highly advise everyone who's, you know, going to university or something like that, just go, don't stay on your own. Try to find some other guys and just share that place and have, you know, have fun from both sides, you know, from educational side and also from the cultural side and social side. So I think this is something that I would have maybe done differently when I was in Madrid. But something I respect about you was that you took the decision to pursue this MBA in English, which for Spanish guys is a huge step and a huge decision. because for the contest, for the audience, this master's was in Spanish as well. This was one. And secondly, that you were applying for all the internships available out there and got a lot of interviews. I respect hell out of it. Like at the beginning, maybe I was like, oh, like she might have taken some internships out of other guys. But this is like, you know, the jungle rules. You're fighting for your future. Like, hell yeah. And I respect that.
Yeah.
So I love it.
The first thing about me doing the MBA in English, to the audience, sorry for my English, because I know I have a very strong Spanish accent, and I hope that they understand me well, Gran Canarian accent. And sorry for that, but I'm trying my best. And then I knew that doing this in English could give me a lot of opportunities and a lot of different ways to explore this industry, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end, when you make business with America, with India, with China, with maybe France or German, not everybody speak the language, the official language of the country. At the end, you use the universal language, and it is English. And I'm very happy to took that decision, because I think it brought a lot of benefit to me. And also about the internships, I didn't think like I'm taking the place from other students, but I remember that I felt myself that I started with a disadvantage, what I told you before, because of I was only an athlete with my degree in physical education, but all focusing on sport, not in the business of sport. And people, they already have jobs there. So I felt in a step down that then. So I tried to take all the opportunities that I have. I had like three beautiful internships with a lot of experience, and I'm very happy that those opportunities helped me to be who I am today.
No, that's awesome. Iza, if you can just share briefly what you're doing currently at National Strength and Conditioning Association, just to give context to the listeners out there.
Sure. Now in the NSCA Spain, our big mother, like we say, is in the US, is the National Strength and Conditioning Association in the US. And we are a humble company here in Spain that we are trying to create a community in Europe, especially in Spain, about giving formation to the coaches and strength and conditioning coaches for the elite players and for the elite teams. And we give formation with online courses or like presential courses. And now I'm the head of the marketing department, communication and sponsorship. What I do in my in a normal day for me is to lead the communication, to see what are we going to post today in social media, together with our community manager, a newsletter, the creation of the images and the post and everything. I also do it. The communication that we want to give in every moment of the year. For example, when this pandemic exploded in March, we have to communicate this to our community and what were we doing in that moment, because our community deserves an explanation. And we work hard, we tried a solution, and at the end that communication was useful because we didn't lose our community, even the pandemic, you know. And then also the relation with the sponsorship. You know that for the private companies, they live from the sponsorship and also from these different revenues. And it's so important for us. At the end, you think that there are a lot of companies, and more companies are getting into the sponsorship of the sport, even if they are not related to sport. Like Santander is a bank and they are always there, BBVA, you know, a lot of examples. Yep. And so finding a new sponsorship or new sponsors, in these months has been very, very tough, because I know the situation is very difficult, and you are not going to a company that they are trying to survive to ask for more money to your company, you know. You try that they can see what you can offer to them, and there's more visibility, and at the end they are going to get more revenues. But it's very difficult. I can understand that now the area of sponsorship is a little bit stuck right now.
Tell us more about the new role that you're going to start. I'm excited. I want to find out together with the listeners what's that about and what you're going
to
do there.
Sure. So I had the great opportunity to change my job right now and to start a new role. It's going to be in Madrid. Now I was working remotely in Gran Canaria. I was lucky, but now I'm moving to Madrid again in 2 weeks. And I'm so excited because this is a project, very ambitious project. So the new company is a technology company, an engineering company, and they are related to the biomechanical study of the human body and how it can help to the athletes, to the elite athletes, first level athletes, but also to try to help people who has a problem like a car accident or something like that, that they have to, they are neurons, are neurological system. They need a help and they have this technology with engineering and with robotics, and they can help people to make their lives better or improve right. at least their quality of life.
And you're going to be, you're going to be the marketing director of this entity. I love where it goes because I'm also in technology world. I love it. And when it comes to technology, I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan of it. And, you know, what making sports more fun from, you know, fan engagement or getting the athlete to a whole new level as an athlete and so on. That's really what I love about. How, in your case, are you thinking of getting what you're going to work on, you know, the product or what the service that you're going to provide, convince, because marketing is basically create the need of the customer that they need this, especially this, because it's the future. And, you know, how do you have in your mind that, you know, going out there and being like, hey, it's here, it's now, how will you create that need?
Yeah. First of all, I think that now working in the technological sector, is a plus because with this pandemic, we have tried and we have proved that technology saves us. First of all, with Wi-Fi, with internet, with Netflix connections, yep. video conference, Netflix, you know, yeah. technology for us today. I mean, all of us, even we have a watch here, an intelligent watch, and it's basic for us. Phone, I don't know, everything. So first of all, I think that now working in the technology sector is a plus. Then how we create this need? I think that the main problem here is that some people see this like only for professional players, you know? Mm-hmm. And these are biomechanical studies that can improve the life of anyone. You can go, I can go, my mother can go, my grandma can go, and they will help you to with a study, a scientific study, to improve your life and your quality, your sport, your movement, to don't be sedentary, everything. And the first need is going to be the first solution is going to fit that need, that this is affordable for everybody. I think that's my point of view. And then this is the B2C, you know, the client. But then we have also, or we will have, because I'm not even there, but we will have.
I'm getting you ready.
I'm preparing. Thank you. I appreciate your work. But also we have the B2B, no? This business to business, and that the focus is different because we are targeting now companies that they know what they want, and you have to supply them with the thing that they are expecting. So the approach there is different. I should have a deeper view of the company. But some ideas are in my mind, and I'm sure that we are gonna develop that in the correct way.
Let's touch base a bit the subject about women in sports, and I can't share. I mean, we're doing this video conference, but I can't even share by audio a more motivating woman in sports than you. Like I've been in contact lately with a lot of women in sports. And I'll just share that I admire how dedicated you are in mission, like not only for you working in sports as a female, as a woman, but helping other women to succeed as well. which, you know, the main hurdle is to get for a woman to get in sports, to work in sports. But then the other, the fact that I admire is you helping and being a leader in promoting the this thing, the women in sports. How did you put yourself a mission like this?
Yeah, sure. When I was playing volleyball, I saw that all the difficulties that we were facing day by day. But I'm not talking to you about, I don't know, salary, that it is also, or the complications that you have in your day by day. For example, we have to travel to Barcelona, and we have to buy the club. Had to buy the tickets, and then you go in a van, and from the van from Madrid to Barcelona in a van, 5 hours, and then they are expecting you to play well. After 5 hours stuck in a van with the food is not the good one. You know, all the difficulties that you are facing there. That is one small example that I put to you, but the circumstances, the resources that the female teams have, because for sure that your audience know, because they have been following your podcast during almost 6 months. But in Spain, the only three leagues that they are considered professional is first of football, second football, and the first basketball.
Yep.
No handball, no swimming, nothing. And we don't even talk about female sport, because that is not in the roadmap. Well, I can say that luckily in the 2022 they are thinking about making female sport professional here in Spain. Football, only football, female football.
Right.
So that is a big step. And I took that in the way that okay, it's football, it's another bubble, it's a huge bubble. It's football, we should start with female football, but we should follow with the other sport, because the progress comes there. And then what I was telling you, the difficulties that you face day by day, the salary for sure. I mean, I could live with my salary, but I cannot take that to the bank and have it there just in case in the future you have something that you need. No, you cannot save money. You have to live, or you need to live day by day with that. You cannot make plans in the future, make a family, because the female sport today, I mean, in the minoritary sport, not football, you can't live from that. And I think that people, if in other countries they can, in Spain, we should also. We can. I mean, they deserve this. They are training harder than, I don't know, maybe one football team, and it's a right. And maybe with this fight and all together, we come back to the visibility, the be there, the TV rights, facilities, rights, everything. It's everything very, very familiar to us, but it's what it is.
Right.
It's not like a dream. It's trying to make this possible and real.
Do you think that? And we're talking now about women in professionals in sport, like not, you know, on the business side. Do you think the women are treated as equally as men are? And of course, you can talk about different places in the world.
In my opinion, the first one would be a no. But I think that we have to analyze every situation. Because I'm a pro defender of the women's rights and the women empowerment and the power of women and everything. But that if there is a law that says there have to be like 5 women and 5 men in this direction of a company, and I would say, okay, fine. For starting, it's fine, because women, we need to enter the market and we need that. But then what about if a man is more prepared and more ready than a woman? She's going to be there just because she is a woman? I think that that is a discrimination also, just because sex on gender. And I'm so pro and I'm a full defender of this, but also I I believe in the work that every day we do. If you are valid, if you are work hard, if you this, you are going to finally find your place in a director position or whatever you need. But not only for being a woman or a man, every side is valid. You need to deserve a position. You have to demonstrate that you can do that.
Absolutely. I agree that, you know, again, getting back to the concept that sports is a business, you know, and it's sure. Basically it's the right person for the right position. So sure. I think if for a role only X amount of women will qualify and will be the best or the best people for the role, then I see no issue in having, you know, an organization for 100% female, so or female dominating. So definitely depending on the goals of the company and so on. So I'm
preparation of their employees.
Yeah, absolutely. Isa, just to make it a little bit more fun, we had some questions on Instagram coming.
Oh my god.
One
I'm scared.
One is going to be anonymous. I'm not going to say the name.
Okay.
Just to respect the confidentiality of the person.
And also you can have a trouble with the data protection law, so yeah. Better don't to say that.
Yeah, something like that. So the first one is going to be the anonymous one.
Perfect.
Who was your best classmate in the MBA?
I think that I read that question before. Well, I think we had a nice group and we were all together at the end. I can remember Mariana, Rafa.
Don't go around. Just call one. Let's make it fun. They will understand.
Okay.
They'll understand.
So I have to answer one name only?
Yeah, of course. It's a straightforward question.
I can say one. I would say Mariana because it was my girl mate, you know?
Nice choice. No, I love it. I respect it. I respect it. And the second question come from our teammate, Martin. Do you love it when Martin sings Senorita?
Oh my God. I can't remember that perfectly. It was like... it was so warm, so hot in Madrid in June. We were sweating. We were preparing our final project. And Martin had all day that song. He was singing it all day. And it's one of my memories of the final project, Martin singing that song for sure.
I wanted to ask, what is your best sports memory of all time? If you have gone to an event live or just the first event that comes to your mind that maybe defined who you are in right now.
Okay, so for example, playing, I told it before, like the game that I played with the national team in Poland, it was amazing because of the atmosphere and the public and everything. But attending or watching, of course, every Olympic Games is such an event for me, and I can stay awake till 3, 4 a.m. just to see, I don't know, whatever sport. I love every kind of sport. But I have a special memory, and it is very, very meaningful for me, very special. I remember that when I was young, I was 12 or 13, something like that, here in Gran Canaria, I was playing volleyball, but in the lower categories, junior. And here in Gran Canaria, they celebrate the Queen's Cup. Mm-hmm. In that year, Spain... The Spanish league was one of the most powerful leagues in Europe. And you can see here players from all over the world, Brazilians, Cubans, Russians, everything. And I remember that one of my friends and me, we were fighting to see who is going to clean the floor if the sweat right. goes down during the game. So we were fighting with the towel because we can't clean the sweat of our idol, that she was the Brazilian setter of the national team. And I remember that we were like pushing the towel and watching that Queen's Cup from the court, outside of course. But it was very special for me because you can see your idols and you fight with your friends to see who is going to clean the floor, you know?
That's super cool. I love it. Wow. Isa, what about... Who is your favorite women athlete?
Okay, here we can say a lot of people could think that they are topics like Serena or something like that. But here in Spain, I have a lot of like important idols. I mean, Carolina Marin, badminton, she's so humble, she's amazing. She fought a lot for Huelva, that is the place where she was born, and also my family. Then I can say Lidia Valentin with the weightlifting. She's also a super champ. And then I have to say Serena because she's a model, a worldwide model. No one can hate Serena. It's amazing. I really appreciate what she does, and also with the African American community, the women and everything. So those three could be for me a reference.
Isa, what would be your advice for someone who wants to break through in this industry? And to make it more valuable, I think, because we're touching a lot the subject of women in sports, and we talked about how challenging and so on it is to do so. What would be your advice for, let's say, the women that want to break through in this industry?
My advice, my advice could be that don't be shy like me in the beginning and just go for it and make all the contacts without being ashamed or feel embarrassed that maybe people can think, what is she doing? No, they are not going to think that. They are going to help you because one day they were in the same position that maybe you are today. So they can help you and you can get benefit from a lot of professionals that they are able and open to help you in any time. So the first thing that I would advise is to be brave and don't be shy and try to do all the contacts that they could. Then, I mean, this we have to know that the sport industry, at least in Spain, in other countries and areas of the world, is a little bit more developed. But at least in Spain, it's so young industry. It's so young. We were talking about that before, that just a few years ago, we didn't see a sport like a business. We just see a sport in TV and we say, okay, they are playing football. But today, you can live from this and it's a business. I think that we have to give, or we should give, a little bit more of time to the Spanish sport industry in particular, or in general in the world, to develop and to get mature, because in that time we can see the equal possibilities for girls, for women and for men. And we are starting to see different examples. You know, the president of the Leganés, Club Deportivo Leganés, that was in first division in La Liga last year. She's a woman. Pavón, I think that was the surname. María Victoria Pavón, sorry. Referees, the girl who refereed the Super Cup, the European Super Cup of football. Coaches in the US, in the US sport, in the NBA, in the NFL. We are watching that, we are seeing that day by day that more women are reaching it, are breaking the gap. So I would also advise to know that success stories, you know, to feel it like a little bit like they are yours also, because we are progressing all together to reach something big and something new.
Right. Can't agree more. And that's why I'm always, well, first of all, this storytelling podcast is just to share the awesome stories of, you know, it's not only the success is just, you know, the top of the iceberg, but then when you look what's underneath that, it's just blood, sweat and tears and pain and a lot of hard work and, you know, a lot of long nights.
Sure.
I can't even share how it was with the NBA, how tough, you know, sometimes we have to stay. The official part was 4 hours of classes, but then you would sure. stay from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to work on the projects, just, you know, just to get closer to our dream. And I think sure. I think those were some good times. And definitely, I really push towards everyone sharing their successes and failures as well, because from failures you learn, but successes, everyone should know about your successes as well, because it might inspire someone to start something new. In my case, I've been looking at some guys doing some podcasts, and in this case, I started my this project as well, and it's been fun, and it makes me happy, and of course, having awesome guests like you is just amazing. For letting you go, I invite you just to play a quick words associations game. Real Madrid.
Elegance.
Spain.
Paradise.
Love it. Iberdrola.
Women.
Volleyball.
Life.
And Gran Canaria.
Oh, I choose paradise before heaven.
Heaven, okay. Is it paradise more than heaven, or heaven better than paradise?
Heaven more than paradise.
I love it. Isa, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a blast, and thanks for sharing your story, and keep doing what you're doing. Do a great job. Good luck with the new role that you're starting in less than 2 weeks now in Madrid. I know you told me you're going on a short haul up vacation, so definitely enjoy that. Isa, thanks a lot again, and sure. Stay safe, and of course enjoy the upcoming opportunities.
Thank you.
That was it for this episode. Please share it with your network and friends who you think could get value out of it. Also share it on your social platforms and tag me using the details in the episode notes. If you enjoyed it, leave a rate and review. Thanks to my team for the continuous support. And on behalf of everyone at eProcast, stay safe and see you in the next episode. Peace out.